Scripture reading today, Revelation 11, verse 18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's sure good to see you. Good to have you here today. Lee's back with us, and I'm so glad you are back. I had to look twice because of this. At least. Well, it's sure good to have you back with us again. I also want John and Mary to know how glad we are that you are with us today. I know Mary's not here because Mary's still at home right now recovering. But I want you to know that we had a special prayer for y'all on Wednesday because we knew Bob was driving. So, yeah. So we had a special prayer. We knew that. And so I also want to mention our sister Mary. Nancy. She did fall last night at 2 o'clock in the morning and did break her femur. And I'll be in touch with her today and see how things go. But she is in Mercy Hospital right now. She's supposed to be having surgery starting at 11, so she may be in surgery right now, and we'll see how that goes, but I'll try to keep you updated on all those instances dealing with that today. I also want to mention one thing, that every day, every Sunday that we come together is Memorial Day. And we have Memorial Day to honor our fallen soldiers that fell protecting us, this nation, and that's wonderful. But I also want you to know that we have Jesus Christ who fell for us so that we would have an opportunity to be with Him in heaven. And that's for all people. And every Sunday morning when we get together, we have a memorial service. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And Dario, we appreciate you this morning for leading us in that memorial service. Now, that's all I'm going to talk about Memorial Day. What I'm going to talk about today is a request. I get requests for sermons quite often. And that's good. If you have something you'd like me to speak on, please tell me. Because I'm always looking for that. I'm always looking to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ and answer any question that they may have. And oftentimes I get this question more than any other. And the question I get is, what happens to us after we pass from this life, after we die? That's one of the things that I get that question often about. And today, the question that I got was, since we are already, once we pass from this life, since we are already in paradise or in Hades, which is also torment, if we're already there, then what is the purpose of Judgment Day? And so today, I'm going to talk about Judgment Day. I'm going to talk about what it is, what it's about, and why we must have it, Judgment Day. And I want you to know this also, in my coming up with this lesson today, this is not the first time I've spoken on this. I've spoken on it several times. But it is something important for you to know that these are things that must transpire, that must occur. There must be a Judgment Day. But also, when we talk about the Judgment Day, realize that we are also talking about the day of the Lord. The terms are used interchangeably. You have the day of the Lord and you have judgment day, and both are the same day. They are the same day. And we don't think about that in that manner, but if you read the scripture, you will see that the day of the Lord and judgment day are indeed the same day. And I got reconfirmed about what I was going to teach on today, because I had gone in and I had listened to several other ministers teach on this subject. And even Billy Graham. I turned on and listened to Billy Graham teach on this subject. And it was real funny to me because he was using the exact same verses that I'm going to be using. So it just reconfirmed to me that what I'm going to teach you is indeed the Word of God. It is indeed God's Word. And it's something that should give you comfort. It should. If it doesn't give you comfort, then you need to look at yourself and where you are in your relationship with God. That's when you shouldn't have comfort over this, is if your relationship with God is not where it should be. That's what you need to focus on. So let's get right into it today. First off, I want to talk about some terminology. Judgment day and the day of the Lord are used interchangeably throughout Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 tells us that for yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord is coming, just like a thief in the night. Jesus uses this same terminology talking about the judgment day. That there will be a time of judgment, and it will come as a thief in the night. It is the exact same terminology. So anytime you hear about the day of the Lord, or you hear about judgment day, realize it is the same day. It is them talking about those events that will happen on that day. Okay? Secondly, those people who are in death are non-Christians. Now that's something you need to realize. I've told you this before, but there are three types of death that are spoken of in the Bible. There is physical death, when this body wears out and we physically die. There is spiritual death, which is death in which you are separate from God. You are not with God. So therefore, you are separated from God. That is spiritual death. And that happens when sin enters into your life and sin drives your life. That is spiritual death. And then there is eternal death. Eternal punishment, which is the separation of God forever and ever. Death deals with separation. Death deals with separation. And when we talk about eternal death, we're talking about what happens after the judgment day. Eternal death. Spiritual death happens while we're here on this earth. Physical death happens if we die physically before Jesus comes back. That's physical death. But what we're concerned with is that those who are in death, that is listed in the book of Revelation, talk about those who are in death are those individuals who were still left here on this earth when Jesus came back and they did not have a relationship with God. So therefore they were separate from God. Therefore they are in death. Okay? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 talks about it. And notice what it says in verse 13. It says, "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them." Death and Hades. Hades is that waiting place for those people who are not in Christ, who have died and they are not in Christ. They have that physical death and they're in a place of torment. Read Luke chapter 16. The rich man and Lazarus. Remember, the rich man was in a place of torment. That is Hades. That's what that is. And those who are left then, when Jesus comes back, remember, those individuals who are not in Christ, when Jesus comes back, are in that spiritual death, which results in that that eternal death. Get all that right. Okay? Notice this also. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. He said, today you will be with me where? In paradise. Paradise is mentioned. Jesus mentions it himself. Remember what I've told you about paradise. Paradise, according to the Jewish people, the terminology was, paradise was the king's garden. And if you are invited into the king's garden, you are an honored guest by the king. The thief on the cross was invited by Jesus Christ to be his honored guest in paradise. That is the waiting place for those Christians who have experienced physical death. It is a place of comfort. It is called Abraham's bosom. It is a place where we can be with Jesus in paradise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says this, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells people who have loved ones who have experienced physical death, and yet Jesus had not yet returned. So they were concerned about that. And so Paul, in his writing, says, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as those who are without hope. Those individuals who have fallen asleep in Christ realize they are the ones who are dead in Christ. And it says that when he returns, those individuals will rise first. Then we who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we shall reign there forever with Jesus Christ, like heirs to the throne. These are the ones who have died in Christ. So those of you who have lost loved ones, those of you who have loved ones who have passed on that died in Christ, guess what? They are in paradise today. It is happening today. And even though we don't have a lot of time to talk about Luke chapter 16, that is a great description of the difference between paradise and Hades. A place of comfort versus a place of torment. Those who have died who are not in Christ are in that place of torment. Those who have died that are in Christ are in that place of comfort, paradise. That's where they are today. Okay? On Judgment Day, one of the things that we need to realize, that every person that ever walked the face of this earth will be there. From the first Adam to the last Adam. Every person that ever walked the face of this earth will be there. All those people who were Christians before us, all those people who were faithful under the old law will be there. But also, all those people who denied Christ will be there. All those people who denied God will be there. Every person that walked the face of this earth will be there on that day of judgment. We will all be pulled together. We will all be there together. Those who are lost and those who are saved. Both will be there at the same time. Now this is important. that all of us come together at the same place. Because we see this. God himself will be sitting on his throne. I knew a man one time, he says, I am, that's what he said. He said, I am an atheist. And there's nothing you can tell me that will change my mind. Okay? Something's going to happen that's going to change your mind. When you see God sitting on his throne, you're going to realize that God does exist. You're going to realize that God is the King. You're going to realize that God is the Creator. You're going to see that yourself. And when that happens, I bet you're not an atheist anymore. It's not going to be an atheist there. Because the entire world of people who ever walked this earth will know that God exists. Secondly, you're going to see this. Everyone who ever walked the face of this earth will also see Jesus Christ sitting on his throne. There are people today, who believe in God but deny Christ. And there's a lot of them. When you start looking at the people that are Muslim, Buddhist, Jewish, you start looking at all these different people out there who believe in God, but they deny Jesus Christ. On that day when they see God sitting on his throne and they see Jesus himself sitting on his throne, they will not deny any longer. They will all believe. There will be no atheists. There will be no disbelief because all people will come to see God. All people will come to see Christ, and there will be no one who ever walks the face of this earth that will be able to deny God or Jesus Christ. This is why the day of judgment is also called the day of the Lord. Realize that. Because on this day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You can deny Christ here today, but you will not be able to deny Christ on that day. You can deny God here today, but you will not deny God on that day. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And there's a song out there called I Can Only Imagine. Y'all have heard it? I like that song. It's kind of a neat song, but I want you to know something. The Bible tells us what's going to happen. It says, I can only imagine. Will I raise my hand in praise? Will I stand and shout hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? Well, guess what? We know what's going to happen. Because when we stand in front of the glory of God, and when we stand in front of the glory of Jesus Christ, we will not be able to stand. We will drop on our knees and we will say to ourselves, just like Peter said to Jesus in the great catch of fish, y'all remember that? When he dropped to his knees and he says, be gone from me, for I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I am a sinner. Guess what? We're all going to feel exactly that same way, that we are not worthy to be in the presence of God. We are not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus Christ because we are sinners. All of us will feel that way. And so we will all drop to our knees and we will all praise God. Thank you so much for your Son, who came to this earth and paid my debt so I can be with you in eternity. Folks, this is what it's all about. And that's why the day of the Lord and the judgment day are the same day, because God and Christ will be glorified. They will be held up. They will be honored. They will be praised. And they will be honored and praised by every person that ever walked the face of this earth. It will happen. On that day, the books will be opened. Now notice what it says, books with an S. Because there are many books. It's not just one. We talk about the book of life. Wonderful. But there are other books too. And realize when we're talking about the book of life, the only thing that's in the book of life is your name. If you are written in the book of life, your name is written there. There are no sins that you've ever done that will be written in the book of life. You know why? Because Christ took all those sins to the grave. There is no sin that God will remember. I will remember your sins no more. There are no sins that God will remember. There are no sins that are written in the book of life. The only thing that's written in the book of life is your name. Praise God for that. If all my sins were written in that book, there wouldn't be enough book there to cover it. But realize that if my name is written in that book of life, then the only thing God sees in me is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, on the other hand, if you are written in the other books, every sin that you ever committed in your life will be written down in those other books. And folks, realize God cannot be with sin. So if he opens up those other books and your name is in those other books and all he can see is all the sins that you've committed in your entire life, guess what? God cannot be with you. God cannot bring you with him, let me get the words right, to heaven. Because all he's going to see is your sin. That's where you are separated. That's where you are cast out. That is the eternal death. Because you cannot be with God. And which book do you want to be written in? I don't want God to remember every sin I've committed. I want my slate to be clean. I want the blood of Jesus Christ in me. And folks, if you've got that, if you've got the blood of Jesus Christ in you, then guess what? God remembers your sins no more. So on that day of judgment, realize this, if my name is written in the book of life, I have nothing to fear, because what I will receive is what I did in my life, which was bring Christ in me. All God will see is Christ in you. And therefore, there is no sin that you committed that could keep you out of heaven as long as Christ has taken away those sins. But If Christ has not taken away those sins, then if you told one little white lie, what we used to call white lies, you know, Forrest Gump said it was okay to say that we use this paddle because it didn't hurt nobody. A little white lie. Realize if you did that, then you will be cast out. Only Christ living in you can bring you to heaven. That is the book of life. Every person will be judged according to their works or their deeds. Now realize what that means. Can we do enough works on this world to earn our way into heaven? No. You know why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Excuse me, that's Romans 3:23. Going back, realize that only through Jesus Christ can our sins be taken away. Only through Him can our sins be taken away. So, we are judged according to our works or our deeds, which is this. These are works of faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that we cannot please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what we're looking at are our works of faith. And I want you to know the first work of faith is belief. The second work of faith is baptism. And then the third work of faith is living for God. These are the works of faith that we will be judged by. But if you do not fall into that category, if you do not believe, if you do not repent, confess, be baptized, if you do not do those works of faith, then guess what? You have no works that could save you. Because all of us have sinned. And therefore, you will be cast out. People sometimes read this and say, We're not saved by our works. That's exactly right. Because read Ephesians, we're not saved by works. That's exactly right. But we are saved by Jesus Christ. We're saved by His sacrifice. And our works must lead us to Jesus Christ. Hear the word. Believe the word. Confess. Repent. Be baptized. And then live your life for God. These are works of faith. And you will be judged by them. On this day, we will be separated. Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. I've always told you, you want to be on His right hand, because that's where the sheep are. You don't want to be on the left hand, that's where the goats are. I've told you before that I want to make sure that I get this right. Is it with Him facing us, or are you on the right or the left? Or, you know, I want to make sure we get this right. Jesus will put us where we deserve to be. Because His judgment is righteous. God's judgment is righteous. So where we deserve to be, we will be placed there. And so therefore, He will separate us. Those who are written in the book of life versus those who are written in the other books. We will be separated. Just like paradise and Hades. Because there's a great gulf fixed in between, and the two cannot cross over. we will be separated. Those who are saved from those who are not saved. Those who are saved from the beginning of time, the beginning of the world, to the end of time. And also those who are lost from the beginning of time to the end of time. We will be separated. Then, realize this. On that day, all knowledge will be made known to us. This is important for us to see. Paul speaks of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he says, when I see face to face, he says, now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, I will know even as I am known. I will know all things at that time. All knowledge, all wisdom is given to me at that time. I've told y'all before that when I get there, I'm going to be running up to people like Paul and John and saying, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? And they're going to look at me and say, oh, no, here he comes again. You know, I've told you that that's going to happen. Well, really, I tell you that in jest because there's not going to be any need for that. You know why? Because on that day, I'm going to know it all. I'm going to know everything. Jesus is going to tell us, because you did this, that's why you receive this. You did this, therefore you're going to heaven. Because when you served the least of these, my brethren, you served me. And they're going to ask, when did we do this? And he said, because every time you did it to someone else, you did it to me. And then he's going to tell those on the other side, realize this, he's going to tell those on the other side why they're not going to heaven. And he's going to tell them, because you didn't do what I told you to do. You didn't serve the other people. You didn't help anyone who was in need. When they were hungry, you didn't feed them. When they were thirsty, you didn't give them drink. And then when someone said, when did we see you in this manner and we didn't do these things? And he said, because you didn't do it to everybody else. Remember the two great commandments. The number one greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. If you read Mark, with all thy mind. But the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments lie all the law and all the prophets. So the bottom line is, if you love God the way that you're supposed to love God, and you love your neighbor the way that you're supposed to love your neighbor, then guess what? You're going to be on the side of the sheep. Because you're going to do what God wants you to do. And you're going to help those who are in need. That's a great thing to remember. That's a great thing to remember. You did not do it. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this time is there will be people that will argue their case. I always like this because it reminds me of our judiciary system. If you don't like the way one judge rules, what do? You appeal it to the next judge. Well, guess what they're going to do? There are going to be people on that day, and they're going to come up to Jesus and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You got me in the wrong line. You got me on the wrong side. And they're going to say to Jesus, they're going to say, did I not do many wonderful works in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? And remember what Jesus will respond to them and say? Remember? I never knew you. This is absolutely the worst thing that you could ever hear. On Wednesday night, we studied Jesus being the good shepherd and how Jesus knows his sheep, knows them by name, and they know him. But when Jesus looks at them and says, "I never knew you," that's absolutely the worst thing that you could ever hear in your entire existence. I want to be remembered. And I want you to know, me personally, that's one of my greatest fears. That when I die, I will not be remembered. But you know what that means? It doesn't matter about this earth. It doesn't matter if you're remembered here or not. What matters is, does Jesus remember you? Does Jesus know you? Realize they're going to argue with Jesus. They're going to plead their case. They're going to say, "Didn't I do many wonderful things?" And there's going to be lots and lots of false teachers that will come to Jesus on that day and say, "Now wait a minute, I prophesied in your name. I taught in your name. I taught all these things." But you know what they didn't do? They didn't teach God's word. They taught man's word. Man's word leads to destruction. God's word leads to eternal salvation. That's the difference. That's the difference. Then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, talks to us about being in that second death, and I call it the third death, actually. Because we're talking about spiritual death, we're talking about physical death, and now we're talking about eternal death. And that death that is talked there in the second death, then death and Hades, those who were in death when Jesus came, and those who were in Hades, are now thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, see, that's what I'm talking about. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, guess what? They were thrown into the lake of fire. An eternity. Hades is not for an eternity. Paradise is not for an eternity. Because you will be called out of those places. But heaven and hell are forever. They never cease. They never cease. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. I love this verse. This is what I want to hear. This is what I want all of you to hear. "Come, you who are blessed of my Father." I want to hear those words. I want to hear them addressed to me. I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. What a great day that will be." Judgment day. The day of the Lord. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is our home. This world, as we sing, is not my home. I'm just passing through. My family and I are going to Disney World this year. Yeah, good luck. We're taking a, she'll be five, so she'll be about here. We're going to go, we're going to take her, we're going to have a great time. But we've decided, since all of the problems with airplanes and everything that's going on right now, we're going to drive. Oh my gosh. That's a long way to drive, especially with a five-year-old. Now, she's really a good rider. The one I'm more worried about is the 31-year-old, my son. But I tell you that because of this. The trip down is not our destination. We today are on a trip. This is not our destination. We're going to have some bumps in the road. We're going to have some flat tires along the way. We're going to have to stop and go to the bathroom a few times. But I'll tell you this. When we get to the destination, that is more joy than you can ever imagine. When we see it for the first time, all tears will be wiped away. There will be no more death. There will be no more parting. Read Revelation chapter 21. Because verse 4 tells us this. We have a place with God in heaven. So I do not fear judgment day, because I know Christ lives in me. What I do fear are those who don't have Christ, who Christ does not live with. And therefore, they need to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They need to come to the understanding of what will bring you to heaven eternally. And the way to do that is pretty simple. Jesus said, as he sent his disciples out, the last command that he gave them, he says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Folks, the way to get written in that book of life is to believe and be baptized. The way to have all your sins cleansed from you is through the blood of Jesus Christ. To be buried in the likeness of his death and to be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This is what I fear, that so many people will not know Christ, and therefore they will be cast out. But to those of us who know Christ, to those of us who have Christ, to those of us whose His blood has cleansed us of all of our sins, we have hope in that eternal destination, to where we will be with God forever and ever in His joy, in His comfort, in praise that is unimaginable. Welcome home. Welcome home. If you have a need this morning to be baptized, or you have a need for prayer, we ask you to come now. While together we stand and sing.